Those who write are writers. Those who wait are waiters. A. Lee Martinez. Hello, welcome to Storycraft, brought to you by the Pioneer Library System. I am Amanda.
And I'm Ben.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope we encourage you to create your stories. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. It is November, and we all know what that means as writers.
NaNoWriMo.
So we've got some cool tips and maybe an exercise, maybe some resources to share today to help you along your NaNoWriMo pursuits.
Yep.
What do we got going on today?
Well, so have NaNoWriMo. I have been asked many times if I've participated in National Novel Writing Month, which is shortened to NaNoWriMo. I know a lot of people who've done this, who've completed it, and I'm so proud of them. I wish I were one of those people.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's an accomplishment. It's a lot of writing.
It is. It's completing a novel within 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
And dedicating the month to writing.
Did the math? It's like 5,000-ish words a day?
No, it's not that much.
Not that much?
It's
completing 5 pages a day.
About five and a half pages a day. Yeah. The goal for NaNoWriMo is to write a novel in 1 month. And it's setting November to be the month that you're going to write a 50,000-word novel.
Wow.
Which it seems daunting, but it's totally doable. People do it all the time.
Absolutely.
And because there is this dedicated organization, this group, this month to do it, it's a collaborative thing, and it's not a collaborative, but it's a, you know, community of writers, and you have the support system. And so I think it's fabulous. I have not participated in it because November is also Robotics Month, and I'm a robotics coach. And for the past 9 years, my life has been dedicated to coaching robotics in the month of November. So I've never done it, but I'm going to make some other month, novel writing month for myself. So the goal is to complete 50,000 words over the course of the month. And if you divide that evenly, it is 1,667 words in a day. And that's about 5.5 pages. But you don't have to divide it up evenly because you may have a really busy day one day and a day that you're free. So the first tip for success in completing NaNoWriMo would be to take a look at your month and plan out when you have days where you can really, hey, maybe you can get 10 pages in one day.
And allow for that, like, that looseness to, like, be like, I'm inspired today.
Right.
Don't cut yourself off if you're feeling inspired and you just want to run and write a bunch of pages.
Right. Right. And I think where people, you know, get hung up is where they feel like, you know, I did my work. It is. I follow a lot of writers on social media and they're very clear that writing is, it's like going to work. You have to sit down and you have to write.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not inspired, even if you don't want to, you have to sit and do the work.
Yeah.
But
routine and that expected repetition of a task to get it done.
Yes, and that is the main goal behind NaNoWriMo is to help writers, new writers, to establish a routine.
Yeah.
To establish a writing routine where you are okay. If you've never completed a novel, if you say I'm going to do one this month, then you learn that every day you have to get in front of your computer or put pencil to pad and you have to write.
Absolutely.
Even if it's going to be kind of crummy.
Yeah.
And we talk about that a lot on here is, you know, sometimes you just have to write.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's something I tell my songwriting kids is just like, it's better to write bad songs than to write no songs.
Yeah.
Like get some words on paper. Just get that part of your brain working. It's better to do something than to not do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they're very lucky to have you tell them that. That's because that's very wise. And you're going to learn something. And so the people that I know who've finished this, they say it's such an experience because, you're going to throw out a bunch. Editing is for later. You're going to throw out a lot of what you've written. But to get through it and to have completed it, that's winning NaNoWriMo.
Mm-hmm. And NaNoWriMo, the whole point is to write it. It's not to have it edited and finished and packaged. It's just to have written your thing. So that is an important part to land on, is like, you're not supposed to have a perfectly formed package at the end.
Yeah.
You're supposed to have written a novel.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's not to have a, bound book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excellent point. So there are how do you begin? So there is a website. You can go to nanowrimo.org. It's kind of like a social media site. You can you can share what you've written. You can track where you are on your journey, how many words you've written that day. And it's kind of a good place to go to keep yourself accountable. And you can find inspiration and connect with people globally who are participating in this. You have to sign up with an email, and it's kind of a fun place to go if you want to connect that way. But there are also a lot of local groups that get together, so connect with your local libraries and bookstores, so you'll find groups that get together and share what they're doing.
Find your local community. It helps to feel stay motivated when you have people that you know also in it with you.
Yes, yes, yeah. And everyone's going to have those same struggles of a day where they just couldn't, or a day where they went off the rails.
Yeah.
I've read a lot about a category of writer where referring to people everywhere, they use these terms, a plotter or a pantser.
Oh. Okay, so a plotter makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So a plotter is somebody who like writes their plot out ahead of time, then spins from there.
Right. So someone who's like, done the outlining, mm-hmm. and has planned the whole thing out, which honestly
knows where it's going.
And if you read, how to succeed in writing a novel, that's suggested a lot as a tip,
mm-hmm. To know where you're going.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I can see how that's really helpful. Because not everyone can succeed in just being a pantser. So a pantser would be...
Yeah. What's a pantser? So a pantser is somebody who just follows the writing as they go?
I guess that name comes from like flying by the seat of their pants.
Okay. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
But some people really... And we've talked about that recently. I think our last episode was about... finding inspiration and just kind of going with it. And mm-hmm. and some people really think like that, and they just find inspiration. And that's really where they're going to get more words out and more mm-hmm. motivation and more inspiration. And that's really just going with the flow.
Yeah.
And, you may not have a really well-organized, you may need more editing if that's mm-hmm. your style.
Absolutely.
But if that is the way that your brain works, and if that is where you find your inspiration and the way that your stories come to you, please
mm-hmm.
go with it. Work with the way that you are.
Yeah.
And write. Just write, 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 write.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think if I were to organize myself into one of these categories, I would mm-hmm. probably be a pantser.
Yeah.
Because when I think about like having to organize the whole story ahead of time, mm-hmm. that's very daunting to me. Whereas like if I can just follow it and see where it goes and then like worry about the editing for making stuff make sense later,
mm-hmm.
that feels much less stressful to me.
Right. So I think if you think about it, it's almost like, would you want to prune something that's already kind of grown and flourished, or would you rather prune that before and try to grow into the path that's already been marked?
It's like it's cutting back a large hedge or growing a bonsai where you have kind of like forming it the whole way it grows, mm-hmm. or like an overgrown bush that you're whittling down into a shape.
Right. And some people would, I like to just kind of, I like to just create stories, but I do tend to think in a more organized way in stories because
And you've been writing so long that
and I think
it kind
that
of
that's,
makes sense.
Well, and I think, like, I can't, I mean, I don't know, you don't just, you have to kind of know where you're going. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people do who, when you're writing a story, you know how stories work and where you're going. You have a purpose to it. But I would find it very, very daunting if I had, I've never written a novel. I would have to have that whole thing already planned out. Mm-hmm. I would never start.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I think probably some combination of that would be would be lovely.
Yeah.
Just to kind of have a, maybe just have an idea of who your characters are and just sort of maybe what their general direction and the general arc is going to be and then just go with that. So you can be a combination of those two things. You could be a plantser. There are a lot of websites also where you can find worksheets to help you fully flesh out all of your characters and your world building. If you need help with that.
Yeah, if there's any points that you're weak on where you're just like, I know that when I write, I tend to not think about these things as in depth as I should.
Right. Yeah. Well, the same sorts of things that we've tried to throw exercises that way.
Yeah. Listen to back episodes of this podcast.
Yeah.
Lots of story development, character development, all kinds of like ways to enrich your worlds if you're already feeling like you're a little short on some of those details.
Yes, absolutely. So, and if you just want to go without a really defined plan and you just want to sort of go for it, a really strong story is going to be rooted with a central dramatic question. We've talked a bit about this before. And that phrasing I got from probably the best book I've ever read about writing. It's called The 27 Essential Principles of Story. Master the Secrets of Great Storytelling from Shakespeare to South Park. It's by Daniel Joshua Rubin. It's fantastic. It just has very practical
And that's where the term central dramatic question came from?
Well, it's where
you first heard it.
It's where this perspective, it's not where I first heard not the central dramatic question, but the idea of the central dramatic question is really lays the track for the plot.
Ah, sure.
Mm-hmm. It's a metaphor that I have in my head and I can't get out of my head. And I read in that book that it's like laying the tracks for the train. The story is the train that follows the tracks. Mm-hmm. Then the track is the central dramatic question. And that if you have a good question, the train's just going to follow that track.
Should just stay on track. Yeah.
And what we mean by central dramatic question is it's the main question that the reader is wondering, is asking herself or himself.
And if you're my partner, it's the question that you turn to me and ask. It's like, why is he doing that?
Well, right. And well, it's like, are they going to find the cure?
Yeah.
Is the dad going to rescue his son? You know, will they survive?
Is everything going to be okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so that would be like the big questions. And then of course there are all sorts of smaller questions, you know, that you come across throughout the plot. Like, you know, will they kiss, you know, something like that. As little things that characters interact with each other. But that big question, those big questions are the ones that keep you turning the pages of the book. So I thought that we would play a little exercise. So I've got some little prompts, and we're going to come up with our own dramatic question for this little writing prompt.
All right.
This sounds fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I'm going to read a short little prompt, and then do you want to come up with the question for it?
Sure.
Okay. There's a reporter who grows carnivorous plants, and the plot is It's a comedy drama story about found families. It kicks off in a nightclub in Seattle, and it starts with the sentence, "This is a true story, I swear it."
All right. So, a journalist who grows carnivorous plants, comedy drama,
It starts with a nightclub in Seattle and with the sentence, "It's a true story, I swear it."
It's a true story, I swear it. Okay. What could... Ooh, this is a tough one. Dramatic question for the entire story. So what are some good... Let's talk about good, just general story things for things to be about. Finding your purpose. Finding love. Getting out of trouble is good, just general. I think that might be a good one since we have some carnivorous plants. I'm feeling like since it's a comedy drama, I feel like a little bit Little Shop of Horrors-y.
Right.
Something going on in that direction. Yeah. Like, so... This journalist met a botanist, an experimental botanist in a nightclub in Seattle. And he gives her the plant. And then the question we're asking is, what happened to the botanist?
What happened to the botanist?
Yeah.
Because this is
reporter. Because he gives it to her and he disappears.
Yes. Ooh, I love that.
Yes. Yeah, okay. I think that's good. Okay. Because we got a journalist. We got a little bit of form.
Night scene. Got a little, there's some comedy. There's some horseplay.
Yeah.
Something happens right off at the very beginning, and then we spin off into all of this nonsense, but we never know. We still never know. We have this big, we just drop a bomb at the very beginning, and we never know. So that we're always wondering what happened to the botanist.
Yeah.
I love it. That's great. That's a great way to start a story.
All right. Should we do another?
Do you want to do another one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The protagonist is a bridesmaid who used to be optimistic.
Okay.
Your secondary character is a spinster who can be overconfident. I don't really know what we mean by that, but yeah, whatever.
Okay.
I mean, do we even use the word spinster anymore? I kind of hate that. But
yeah, I was going to say, it's like, it seems rude, but.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, we'll go with it.
It's a historical fiction story about found families. It kicks off in a manor with someone crying in public.
Okay. Well, this feels like very defined already. Like
it does.
So it takes place. So
I was gonna say. I mean, just the fact that we had like the bridesmaid and the spinster. And overconfident. I don't know. This felt like an historical fiction before I even read that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So this feels like a very like easily like find yourself kind of plot of like this bridesmaid who you said secondary character, but I immediately was like, and her best friend, obviously.
Okay. Okay.
is the spinster.
All right.
And She just got out of a relationship and she had to move into this old manor with her weird, overconfident spinster friend.
Okay.
And she, like, she's not happy. So she's, so what's the dramatic question?
What is the question?
What is she gonna do with her life? Or that doesn't feel as satisfying. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not as satisfying. I think. Well, she used to be optimistic. I don't know if that's relevant or important, but it feels like it could be.
Yes. So she lost her confidence because she lost her job?
Well, I feel like change the play careers? Between the two of them. Well, if it's a historical fiction, maybe she's not had a job.
Oh,
so I feel like
yeah.
the play between the two of them, we've got an overconfident best friend, right?
Great.
Yeah. And we've got a bridesmaid who used to be optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But now she's not. She's no longer optimistic. But she's got this, I'm kind of digging this secondary character that's the spinster who can be overconfident. I think I'm liking her
mm-hmm.
quite a lot.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be my star.
Okay.
In this story. But the protagonist is the one who's got the issue that is going to be our central dramatic question.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find out what took away her optimism.
Mm.
So there's something that happened. So something is going to happen, like a comment.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, her friend is going to refer to something. Something's going to happen in those early pages that is going to make us, like, wonder. Not a comment, but, like.
Just a passing reference.
I think it needs to be more dramatic.
A piece of mail comes that. Reference
a mistaken identity or ooh. somebody there's a big fight or something comes up and approaches her
mm-hmm.
or something and says something and you know her friend is like back up and it will allude to something that happened in the past.
Yes.
And we'll be like, what was that all about?
Yeah.
But we won't really address it necessarily. Mm-hmm. And then that'll keep kind of coming up.
Yeah.
It's not all that dramatic, but I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Because we'll find out what took away her optimism.
Yeah.
It'll be something that kind of.
I think that's happened. Good. Because it also reminds me that like, it doesn't have to be like a big flashy thing. It can just be an emotional arc that you are alluding to.
Yeah. Well, with these characters that we were given on this generator that we're looking at, I kind of feel like, you know, that's what we're left with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Should we do another or should we move on to another portion of our show?
Let's do one more because that was not very satisfying.
Okay.
I like a billionaire who can be spoiled. Can you imagine?
Could you even fathom?
They can be spoiled. And we've got a secondary character who's a reporter who is a spelling bee champion. Fantastic. The plot is it's a family saga story about a relationship in decline. It kicks off in a monastery with someone who's late to a funeral for someone close. I feel like I've seen this movie. Note that someone in the story will sigh meaningfully every 5 pages.
Oh, that's a fun detail. Okay, so let's go. So our main character is the billionaire.
He's a billionaire.
Who can be spoiled.
Can be. Yeah.
Okay.
We have a reporter who is a spelling bee champion.
Great.
That's an important detail.
Great. Love it.
They're going to mention that.
She always wears a bee pin.
Regularly. It's a family saga story, which can be, those are rich for drama.
Especially when it's somebody who is rich and dramatic.
About a relationship in decline. It kicks off in a monastery with someone who's late to a funeral for someone close. All right. Someone in the story will sigh meaningfully every 5 pages.
That is such a funny detail.
Okay. Well, the person who sighs meaningfully is that a young person or an older person? He says as he sighs meaningfully.
I feel like it'd be easy for it to be a wise old person, but I almost want it to be a young person.
Well, my first thought was, you know, it's like the teen, but I kind of love it if it's like the grandfather, you know, or mm-hmm. the grandmother who's just full of unspoken words or something.
Yeah. Is it the billionaire's grandfather?
They're all billionaires. Yeah. It's a family saga. Come on.
Yeah. They are all rich. So,
I mean, I would assume if the main character is a billionaire and it's a family saga story, then it would be that person's family. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm placing it.
Okay. And we're starting at a funeral for somebody who was close. Whose funeral?
Well, the brother.
The brother.
Yeah. Because on those sorts of stories, it's always like the patriarch or something. Mm-hmm. And then everyone's fighting over the inheritance. I think this time we're gonna shake it up a little.
Sure. He's not going to be... Okay, so it's the brother. Is the brother...
This doesn't mean better, the whole story needs
better
to
be... Better liked?
Yes.
Okay.
Someone close.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was the only one who wasn't neurotic.
And spoiled.
He was the only good one in the group.
He was kind of a normal guy.
He was a good guy. And the big question is, what happened to Brian?
What happened to Brian? Brother Brian.
Yeah.
I think that feels good.
Like, he's the one who died, if I didn't make that clear. Now this has turned into a murder
mystery. It does feel like a murder mystery, but also feels like it could be like one of those, like, it feels like a murder mystery, but it turns out it's benign, but then we learn something about ourselves along the way.
Yeah, okay. But, yeah. I mean, he had to die. He was too young to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we had to figure something out. That has to be a big question. And then, you know, everyone learns something about themselves in these family saga stories.
Absolutely.
There are some really wonderful materials that the library has for getting through NaNoWriMo. So we will find in Hoopla a book called Novel Writing Prep, a 30-day planner that prepares you to write 50,000 words in 1 month. This is a Hoopla ebook, and it's really designed to be read and worked through before you start NaNoWriMo. So it would be something that you would want to check out and read before November.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe October. And it does give you, it is literally a 30-day planner. So it has an activity or like a planning process for 30 days. So it would be something that you would want to check out in October. So this is not necessarily a super helpful tip for me to give you today, but it is by Monica Lionel. And again, that is a Hoopla ebook and it's worth checking out. Really pretty helpful the way that's laid out. So you should check that out.
And if you're not familiar with Hoopla, it is available with your library card. You can download it through the App Store or access it through your browser.
Yes, please do. Our prompts that we were working on today, we found on a website. It's a blog. At blog.readzy.com is there you find a plot generator. And that's been really fun that we've played around with. You can plug in different words and get a plot generator. And if you want to play around with that, that's where we found our writing prompts that we were working through today.
So do we have any tips or tools or a writing prompt to leave people with for today?
No, I didn't have any writing prompt because I feel like those were just writing prompts.
Okay, sure.
And the tips and tools are just to sit and write. Just get to it.
Yeah. Do the work.
Yeah, do the work. Make sure that you get a comfortable spot and that you make a habit, especially for this month. Just the idea, again, keep in mind, that is to create a habit of writing. And so to find a spot that you are going to sit and work. Think of it as work. Sit and type and, you know, make sure you've got a comfortable chair. We've talked about this before, but make sure that your space is supportive of you. You know, don't try to cram it into every little whatever corner, whatever cluttered space you have.
I love this tip you gave me for my songwriters club that you said that you've given for kids writing, of like finding a utensil that you really love to write with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that felt very good to me, and something I didn't realize I had already done to myself, of being like, oh, these particular pencils, I love them, and they feel good to have and write. So whatever you can do to set up your space or your literal like writing ephemera, whatever you need around you to make it feel good and like attract you to the same spot every day.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I agree. I do love writing with pens, and, you know, yeah, you got to make it a good pen and a good stack of papers if you write like that. So, and make it something that you set aside some time for, and create some good habits this month. And know that we're here to support you. And if you run into something that if you hate doing it, you know, push through, because I think at the end you'll feel really, really proud of yourself. Don't edit as you work. This is not the time for self-editing. It's time for just getting some words on paper. You will absolutely you will have time for that later. And you don't have to write it in order. That was another
very
thing.
Very good tip.
I forgot
there.
To mention. Yeah. I did not mention that. Yeah.
If you are stuck at one point in your plot and you're not sure what to do next, but you know something that's going to happen later,
yeah,
jump to that.
Yes. Write that part. So give it a shot.
All right. And good luck to everybody on their NaNoWriMo writing, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today.
Bye.